There we go.
Cool.
Started.
All right, on today's Kick to Kick, we have a recap by Kaz on Carlton and Fitzroy. We have question of the day. We have our history item. We will then review the 1897 season, the first season of the VFL, followed up by looking at the finals and the final system, and finally, Kaz has got a special way to end today's show. All coming up afterwards.
It's the history of football we knows about, and we want to expand what we know. We'll become such intelligent gentry with every Kick to Kick show. Beginning in the time 1870, right through to the modern day. Tune in for Timmy Coops and the Kazman to hear what they all have to say.
And welcome to the Kick to Kick podcast. My name is Tim. To my right, I have Charlie Coops.
G'day, everyone.
And to my left, I have the Kazman.
Hello, everyone.
All right, how about that theme song?
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to singing on that again. We'll find it as we go.
Now, and the thing we found with that was recording a theme song like that and trying to do it football style was that you just need to make it a barbershop style song and it sounds like a football song. I feel like any song we record like that,
oh, absolutely,
would be a football style song.
I heard an interesting fact the other day. You know, every single theme song for all the football teams in the AFL now were all recorded in the same studio on the same day by the same group of people.
Nice.
That's why they all sound exactly the same. It was just one long recording session for all the songs.
that's awesome. And you know what? There's also some alternative songs as well. They re-recorded the Essendon one in the late 90s. I know there's a different Collingwood one. There's a different Geelong one. Maybe we'll have to have a listen to those at some stage.
That'd be great.
They are interesting.
Very nice.
All right. Now, this is our official first episode. You might be confused because the last episode we called our pilot episode. And usually pilots are a little bit different. So this is our official first episode because we're looking at the season 1897. But we had to put that into some context. But usually pilots are quite different as well. I mean, if this was normally a pilot episode, we might have replaced someone. Like Kaz would be played by a different person.
Which in person he actually has been. We've just kept the name.
Yeah. Well, he does have a marvellous moustache at the moment. I must say that. But no, we'll be talking about the season proper today, which was a bit different from last week. All right, but before we get to that, Kaz is just going to fill in a little bit more information about Carlton and Fitzroy for us.
Well, I'll start with Carlton. So, first of all, apologies.
to all Carlton and Fitzroy supporters.
That's right. We did not do them justice, and we're not going to let our prejudices get in the way. Because these are actually really good stories. So, I've got to go over pronunciation here. So George Coulthard?
Coulthard,
that's it. I'm looking forward to coming back to him later. But we're going over some history here of Carlton, their inception, and... like we said, George Coulthard, fantastic champion. Why don't I just get straight into him? So, because we'll come back to some of the interesting facts about Carlton as we go too. So this is coming straight off here. This thing, the book called The Clubs, and I actually bumped into somebody who had this when they were younger. This is an absolute classic.
Yeah.
So this is lifted out of here, and so George Coulthard. The remarkable sportsman George Coulthard was born in Boroondara on the 1st of August, 1857, and he packed a good deal of fun into his 27 years, which allowed him, before he died of tuberculosis in Carlton on the 22nd of October, 1883. So, he was a first-class cricketer.
So, he really only played 3 years, because there was no real organised competition until 1880.
Ah,
there you go.
Ah, good.
Not great for him.
No.
But
yeah. He was 3 times champion of the colony in 1876-77 in Carlton's premiership year. And this is awesome. And also in 1879. The Australian said of him in 1879, he's the grandest player of the day. It is doubtful if, for general excellence, his equal has ever been seen. So that's pretty full on. We've got our superstars today. You can imagine what it would be like.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a cricketer, he made 31 and took 3 for 29 on debut in a game against South Australia in November 1880. So it was the first first class game between the two colonies.
Yeah, because they only ever played New South Wales versus Victoria before that.
So going ahead now, as a footballer, he was a follower, and like I'm an making little yeah, inverted like commas. A ruckman, fast, tough, and skillful. He rarely took a backward step, it says here. In 1882, he had a dispute with the former, with an import from Hotham. So I'm guessing that's a team. Joey Tankard, causing both players to be suspended for most of the season. Tankard went back to play for Hotham, and in the first game back from suspension for both players on 12th of August 1882, they came to blows again and were suspended from the PFA for the rest of the season, which was Coulthard's last game for Carlton.
There you go.
That would be all over the papers if that happened today. They love a good fight between teammates.
Yeah.
That's a... who was it in 2003 who retired at the end of the grand final?
Lynch.
Alistair Lynch.
I would never forget. Yeah.
Throwing the haymakers.
Throwing haymakers.
Oh, mate.
Just, you know you're not coming back? Go nuts.
He really did it, didn't he? So, Carlton's first Premiership Cup. The first organised competition began with a meeting in 1870 where the senior football club secretaries met and agreed on the rules for a challenge cup. Among them, the first use of the central umpire. Hey, umpires get a mention. South Yarra won 1870 competition. After some disputation, there's a word I don't use very often. and the cup became known as the South Yarra Challenge Cup. At the beginning of 1871, it was agreed that the two teams with the most wins in that season would play one grand match for the cup.
Yep.
Carlton met Melbourne in the first grand match in 1871, played on the neutral Albert Park ground. Jack Donovan of Carlton won the toss and kicked with a gale. Play began at 3 o'clock and went on till 6.
The game times are ridiculous, aren't they?
I wonder if there are
hour
breaks.
After hour.
I couldn't be long enough, in my opinion. So, Carlton supported one another extremely well, and they went in extensively with small kicks from one to the other, giving marks this way.
Yeah, the old small kick where they just put it on the foot and then pass it off.
Yeah. Oh, nice tying the episodes together there. Carlton scored 2-0 to win the game. In the last hour, spectators closed in on the ground in a disgraceful manner, and at length it looked as if the game was being played on a crowded street rather than a regulation football ground. Ah, classic. And there's some stuff here about the first night game with lights.
Which is Carlton Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They couldn't see it. They sort of lost the ball a little bit. it was the Australian Electric Light Company that provided the lights.
Good promotion.
Not a great rap.
I know. You can just imagine them spruiking it, and the lights went out.
First game under lights.
the picture here is some lights beaming down, but there's gaps where you couldn't see. Everybody's black. You cannot see. It's all dark.
Where you can start throwing elbows.
There were carbon arc searchlights. I suppose you'd imagine those sort of like steampunk style things. You know,
that would have been noisy.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine? So there's 7,000 fans there. The electricity was supplied by Professor Pepper, and in the Carlton game, the teams used the white painted football until it bursts.
Ha!
Maybe that's why they went longer. They're like, "This is awesome. Just keep going until it pops."
The ball's never burst anymore. Well, ever
no, it doesn't seem to.
It must have.
When Jesse Hogan kicks it, it'll probably burst. Jokes. When the brown one was used, they couldn't see it. The scoring wasn't that great. This ball is scarcely discernible in the fitful and unsteady light the machines gave. A goal by Coulthard relieved the monotony, and when the white ball once more enlivened matters, a second goal was gained by Coulthard.
Yeah, nice.
So that's a little bit about the early history of Carlton.
Nice. Yeah.
And I've got another bit more about Fitzroy.
The Fitzroy team.
Can we go straight to Kevin Murray? Can we do one episode dedicated to Kevin Murray?
Yeah, all right. I'll give that to you. One day. But not
we've got to get there.
But yeah. Like 1960 we'll get there. Something. So we've got a good 60 episodes ahead of us before we get to Kevin Murray.
Just every episode, just ask him again. Just nag him until he gives in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Fitzroy Football Club was founded on Wednesday, 26th of September, 1883. When a meeting converged... Yeah?
Oh, so by the time Coulthard has died.
Yes. Yeah. They were pretty strong. They had a good following. So, George Toms unanimously agreed to form a senior football club to represent Melbourne's oldest suburb. A provisional committee worked tirelessly to establish the club. The rules of the Melbourne Football Club, 1879, with some alterations, were adopted, and the club colours of maroon and blue were chosen, forcing the players' maroon jerseys and stockings to be ordered from England, and we talked about it last time.
Yeah, they also wore blue hats as well originally.
Mm.
Like if you look,
the caps.
Their original colours were like blue and black.
Ah.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but then they quickly lined adopted up. The maroons.
Mm. I've got a picture here, and the stockings go up to like just below the knees, and the pants are like tucked in or either rolled up and join up with the stockings.
It
or
does
something.
Not look comfortable, does it?
No, so not shorts. Oh, there you go. And the grounds look like grass, and I just yeah. I'm thinking about that. What's that ground with the rocks? It's just rocks.
That's in Central Australia. Isn't
yeah, is it?
Oh yeah,
is it
yeah. There's yeah. well, there's a few. Mm. No.
Did you so Charlie? You spent a bit of time up there. Did you play footy or have a kick on those grounds?
I had a kick on a few of those grounds. I never played because I was just so unbelievably scared of getting tackled on that ground.
Yeah,
it was just rock solid and just dust. But geez, I watched a lot of footy up there, and the skill levels is just unbelievable. It was fantastic.
You wouldn't want to get tackled, would you?
No,
not at all.
No,
jeez.
Do they tackle?
Oh yeah, they hit hard. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess you just get used to it.
Yeah,
yeah. I heard Richo saying that it was like, you know, rite of passage to play at least one game on there, but he said he was pretty cautious.
Yeah.
To get tackled.
Nicknamed the Maroons due to their distinctive canvas jerseys, Fitzroy matched their older rivals from their very first season, led by Paddy McShane.
That's a good old name, Paddy. McShane.
Paddy McShane. And good recruiting, 7 victories in 1884 convinced locals the club was a serious competitor.
Nice.
The new grandstand and cable tram along Brunswick Street saw support grow as the team's performances consolidated under the new skipper, John Worrell. The team climbed to fourth place.
We'll talk about him later as
well.
Not today, but in a few more years.
No, that's...
He plays a big part in Carlton's history, actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're talking about him being a skipper, and it's something to do with being a coach, isn't it? Became a big coach. So they got fourth place with 11 wins in 1887. Worrell, can I... Should I save it, or can I talk a little bit about
it? Because we'll talk about him with
Sets
Carlton.
It up.
Yeah.
Worrell was a nuggety rover and the club's first star, and was twice named champion of the colony in 1887 and 1890. His absence in 1888 to play test cricket coincided with the club occupying 10th place in its worst VFA result ever. Okay, the glory years. The club in its formative years boasted many leading players, and a strong local support was reflected with the large membership. When a muted breakaway competition was formed at the end of 1896, Fitzroy was one of the first clubs invited to participate and became a foundation member of the VFL.
And now we're caught up.
Yay.
Well done, guys.
Yay.
We're on.
I finally got there. I'm learning how to speak English.
We made it all the way to 1897. Stay
with me, guys.
One thing I'll add as well is that, look, we do our research and things, but I'm sure we're going to get things wrong here and there. We're going to make mistakes, and we might pronounce names wrong. We might get some stats mixed up, but we're trying.
That's right. And look, it's actually hard to find accurate records.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. It's that there's so much conjecture. It's more, you know, it's 130 years ago. So, how many stats? How much can you trust?
There's no champion data.
And we might know everything about Melbourne, and we don't want to talk too much about this, do we?
No. All right. Well, that gets us to question of the day. And today's question was, who would your dream guest be on this podcast? If we can get anyone still alive, who would we get? All right, Kaz, you're looking excited over there.
Okay, so I thought carefully about this. And if we couldn't get... what was that Melbourne player's name? Cole Garland, if we couldn't get him on. Because he is a fax machine. He's a
fax machine.
Loves it.
Hi, Cole, if you're listening. Now, I thought it would be great to chat in person to Kevin Sheedy. Kevin Murray next time. But, no, first Sheets. Kevin. Yeah, Sheedy. But the way, his laconic way.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really interesting. I think he has a way of seeing the game that is always a little bit left of center. I don't know if that's true or not. So yeah, it might be interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, seems, and obviously involved in some of the game's greatest moments too.
Yeah, absolutely. Coops.
So I originally thought about this question without the caveat of them having to be alive.
Yeah.
I really went for broke, and I would have loved to have spoken to Norm Smith. I think he would be just a really interesting guy. But considering they actually have to be alive, I'm going to go for another Melbourne coach and say Paul Roos. I would love to talk to Paul Roos. Every time I read an article of his, he's so deliberate in his approach, and everything he says makes so much sense, I think. And also just talking about Fitzroy back in the day and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And how he, you know, brought in leading teams at Sydney and created that dynasty and then came to the D's, and fingers crossed it will be the point that turns us around.
They can look back and say that was the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah. And definitely it's something just positive definitely came out of him going to Melbourne. So,
oh, yeah.
So there must be something to it.
Well, along the themes of our own teams, Melbourne and Essendon, I think I'd have to go Ron Barassi.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I'd love to get Mark Zanotti or Darren Kapler or one of those classic named players, Ron Barassi, with his wealth of knowledge and the different clubs he's coached at, the different experiences he's had, he would be able to fill in so many gaps and help us in so many ways, and would have so many stories. Especially about Kevin Murray. I mean, he'd probably know a bit.
Did Ron Barassi win a Brownlow?
No, he didn't.
No. Doesn't have to have.
One of those, well, I mean, Paul Roos didn't either, neither did Kevin Sheedy.
No.
Yet they're legends of the game that have helped grow the game and
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, changed it in many ways.
I think when you were talking about this, you might have mentioned Lee Matthews as well.
Yeah.
Similar.
Well, he would have been my second. If Charlie had said Ron Barassi, I was going to say Lee Matthews.
Lethal would be great.
Yeah. Even just for some of those fights he set up, or
talk about snapping the point post in
half. Yeah, and you get those questions. Even but then Brisbane's three-peat or breaking Collingwood's drought. I mean, he'd have so much to say as well. Just any of those legendary coaches, really.
Yeah,
still alive.
Maybe who he learnt off.
Yeah.
Maybe he's already spoken.
Well, that's
about
it. And these guys sort of changed the game, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. As players and as coaches, they brought in these things. I mean, Clarko again would be amazing to speak to. So, guys, come on in.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're all invited. Everyone's welcome. All right, well, that gets us up to the year 1897. So, to put this into a bit of context, things that happened in 1897. Charlie.
All right, I've got a few. Well, first, I thought it'd be interesting to hear a few people who were born in 1897.
Yeah.
So you've got Mo Howard, who is Mo from the Three Stooges, who was born in 1897. Amelia Earhart was born in 1897 as well. Charles Kingsford Smith, who was another famous Australian aviator.
Yep.
And also Pope Paul VI.
Ah, good Pope.
Yeah, excellent Pope. Ah. And another one at the other end of the spectrum, unfortunately, was Joseph Goebbels, was also born in 1897.
Oh, no.
And plenty of others, but those were the ones that really sort of popped out.
Yep.
In other sports news, on November 1st in 1897, Juventus was formed as an association football club.
That's a bit of a young club, isn't it?
Isn't it? Come on, guys, get your act together.
Yep. The first Boston Marathon also took place in 1897.
There you go.
That's a long time.
A cyclone destroyed Darwin in 1897. Oh. And
that wasn't Cyclone Tracy.
No, not Tracy.
It wasn't Tracy. Yeah. It was before Trace, pre-Trace.
Something like that. No, I'm making this up.
And and Tim and I were talking before. Also, it was the year that Bram Stoker's Dracula was first published.
Oh, no way.
And the one other thing that I've got there is the Klondike Gold Rush began in Seattle.
Yeah, I had that note as well.
In 1897. So a big year.
Yep. Also, Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee.
Ah.
which has only just been broken by Queen Elizabeth II in the
last we had to the Diamond Jubilee when? 15?
Yeah. No. Not, yeah, 14 not, or 15. Not too long ago. So.
Yeah.
Does she write herself a letter?
Good question. Well, she's not 100.
No, but, you know.
Yeah.
Significant.
The pencil sharpener was patented in 1897.
Ah.
Oscar Wilde was released from prison.
Yes, I heard that. But, and then he moved to America, right? Mm. Yeah.
The Greco-Turkish War ended, also known as the 30 Days War.
Mm. How long did it go for?
30 days. but the most telling thing is that Australia was still a colony.
Yeah.
There was no Northern Territory, there was no ACT.
Mm.
We were still a colony, separate colonies.
A lot of people still feel that way.
Yeah. Right, and the song of the day was The Bride Elect by the John Philip Sousa Band.
Oh, no, oh, there you go. Need to grab of that.
Classic. Classic song.
I don't know.
All right, so that's just to put a little bit of that into context. So let's get into the season 1897 proper. So a few things that changed from the VFA, the biggest being goals were 6 points. Because before that, a goal was a goal and the points didn't count.
Mm.
So that got rid of the farcical thing where you might have more points than goals and you could win with lesser goals.
With more goals.
Just make them a different score.
Have a lesser score, absolutely.
Geez, I wonder what they have. They decided the actual amount of the points. I've always wondered that.
Why would they choose six?
Yeah, no, but there's obviously a huge distinction between them now. So it totally changes the game.
That is an interesting question.
Why is it worth six points?
Someone out there is screaming out the answer. Oh, we could do a live stream and we could get a Twitter feed of it.
Yeah, well, we do have a Twitter and an Instagram and an email account now as well, Kaz.
So if you have any of these answers or would like to ask any questions, please let us know.
So, yeah, the Twitter account is at kick2kickpod. The email account is...
Maybe we could have an audience question. Maybe they just come up themselves like
any
that.
Any questions of the day and things like that.
Silly questions.
Our Instagram account is kick2kick_podcast. And our email
is that kick2kick as in kick T-O kick or kick to kick?
Good question, Charlie. It is T-O.
There you go.
And our email address is kick2kickpodcast@gmail.com. KICKTOKICKPODCAST.
Excellent.
But good query to clear that
smooth.
Up. All right, I'm going to test you guys before we get stuck into this. I'm going to give you some team names.
Okay, bring it on.
Tell me who they are.
Whew.
Saints.
St. Kilda.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I thought you were tricking me. I thought I was going to look stupid there, but okay, we got through it.
Right, the Maroons.
Okay.
The Maroons is Fitzroy.
Good. We talked about that one.
Okay, good.
Whew. Same old.
I need to get that one.
Same olds.
The Blues? No, Collingwood.
No.
Oh,
geez. Same olds. Same olds.
Hmm. We did talk about this last week.
Yeah, no, South Melbourne.
No. Sydney.
No, it's Essendon.
Oh, that's the same old Essendon. The same old.
You just sung me this song.
Yeah, I did. I found the song as well.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Magpies are obviously Collingwood. The Pivotonians.
That was Geelong. Oh, yeah, nice. Well done. Well played.
We were there.
The Bloodstained Angels.
That was South Melbourne. Albert Park.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You were talking about that.
Yeah. And that leaves us with the Fuchsias.
The mighty, mighty D's.
Go D's.
Nice. The toughest of the names. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through team by team of how their season kind of went. And we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about the finals at the end.
Mm.
So Carlton appear first. So
should we run through the fact that there were 20 players on the field, so we'll talk about how that all works.
So structures.
All
right. Yeah,
so
we'll
the structure.
That.
Sorry.
That's all right.
This is something that I just found out and Tim knew about before because he's far more prepared than I am. each of the teams consisted of 20 players on the field with no reserve. So there were just 20 of you out there as long as you wanted. If you did come off the field for any reason, you could later take your place back on the field at any time. So if you came off, you didn't have to stay off. You could come back on
And there were five midfielders, five followers. Yeah, there's no restrictions then.
That would be very interesting. And so the season was 14 rounds and each team played each other twice,
which I mean happened until the I think until Brisbane and West Coast came in.
Is that right?
Yeah
which I mean
it's so much better.
It is, isn't it? I mean I do understand why you can't play 30 rounds of... Well, no, it'd be 36 rounds of football now, wouldn't it? No,
34
rounds of football.
That's a long season.
And then finals.
Yeah.
But, geez, that whole system of how to figure out who plays who twice, just seems farcical, doesn't it? So it'd be not. It'd be a nice round number, but
you know what I'd do? Make it too hard. I'd introduce two new teams from Tassie, and then just play one each other once.
Yeah, see, that'd be good.
And then finals.
Mm.
Tassie and Northern Territory.
All that.
Bring them in.
Yeah. Yeah. Done.
That'd be great.
Oh, cool.
But it'll never happen. Unless they... Yeah, there's so many ways they're trying to work around it because it is unfair.
Oh, yeah.
My mind's just going straight to the design of the Northern Territory, Guernsey. Can that be awesome?
Yeah, sorry. Wouldn't that?
Even to have some green in the Tasmania because those teams, have, apart from Fremantle's early jumper, have green.
Mm.
That's true. They've totally dropped it, haven't they?
Yeah, years ago. They've really embraced the purple haze. Another rule that we forgot to mention was the they scrapped push in the back.
Yeah, good on them.
Don't need that.
So who needs it?
Well, it's a blight on the game having no push in the back.
Yeah.
And the little mark that we talked about last week as well, they got rid of.
But they did bring it back, didn't they, Timmy?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is all the clubs had their own home ground and they played all their games at their home ground.
Yeah.
So there were eight grounds.
Which is great. And now there are what?
Two.
Yeah,
you either like
yeah.
You play in Melbourne, yeah.
If you're the Bombers or the Demons, you play at the MCG or Etihad.
Yeah,
and quite if you're Magpies, you just play at MCG.
Yeah,
I was just about to say, there's a lot of Etihad games next year.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's a good place.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get stuck into the Carlton.
Carlton, here we go.
Now, I also heard a rumour that Carlton were once called the Butchers.
Oh,
I'll have to look that up. But the captain of Carlton was Jimmy Aitken. And they played their home games at Princess Park. But the interesting thing to note was that Princess Park was... They couldn't access it early on, so they couldn't play there until midway through the season when they launched it, I think, against Collingwood.
Was that because the cricket season was still going on, or...?
I don't think so. I think there was a dispute with the council, or it wasn't ready for football or something. So they played a match there, which I think was a Diamond Jubilee. But round one, Carlton played Fitzroy in their opening match at Fitzroy's home ground, and they lost.
Can you believe that?
Remember,
they would have been shocked.
Remember, Carlton and St Kilda were like late inclusions in the VFL because
that's right. Why did I know we wanted St Kilda because of the junction?
Yeah, well, I think Princess Park as well was a potentially good home ground. That's why they wanted that.
Mm.
But they had a very poor season and finished on the bottom of the ladder. So Carlton were not expected to do well and didn't.
And so much has changed.
But you look through the season proper, and the only team they beat was St Kilda.
Yeah,
and they had two wins for the whole season,
both against St Kilda.
Oh, good job.
They had a few close losses, but I mean that's a loss, isn't it?
Against the one where they beat Collingwood. Yeah.
Interesting to note that the leading goal kicker for Carlton, his name was Wally O'Cock. What a dick.
I tried to hold that in, but I couldn't.
What a dick. So look, I'm not going to harp on too much about Carlton because they didn't really have a very significant season. They finished 7th on the ladder with 2 wins, 12 losses, and a percentage of 51.2.
You know, it says here in this book here, I just noticed it says 7th, and leading goal kicker was Wally O'Cock.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
I said Wally O'Cock.
Can I edit that out?
No. You just want to keep saying Wally O'Cock.
I just heard cock.
So Carlton beat St Kilda in round 6, 35-24, and I think 11 points might have been the closest St Kilda got to a win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat them again later on in the season, 59-25. And you remember when the fixture used to be like that as well? It'd be the same order you play a team twice?
Twice, yeah. Rather than playing the same team twice before you'd even played another one once.
Mm.
Yeah.
When did that stop happening?
I don't know. But I don't feel like it was that long ago either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
That's what
it's crazy.
Yeah. Because you just play them in that same order again.
Mm. Yeah. And these marquee games, were they as set in stone as they were back then? Is that one of the pressures?
Well, I mean, really, the marquee games are based on the rivalries and these.
Yeah.
And these the infancy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The one marquee game of the season was later on in the season, wasn't it? The rep game.
Mm. Yeah. Which we'll talk about later. All right. But we'll move on to Collingwood now. So Collingwood were captained by Bill Strickland. And played their games, surprisingly enough, Kaz, Victoria Park.
There you go.
So from early on, their games were played there.
So it probably doesn't even need to be mentioned because we I think everyone's aware of it, but at this time the captains and the coaches were the same for every single team.
Generally, yeah.
For the first couple of seasons, I think, all the captains, they were all captain coaches.
And interesting to note, they weren't professional. They worked during the week and then
went and played
footy.
Yeah, just great players as well. Like the famous names, like we've got Bob Rose and obviously the ones we've already just spoke about, the ones became these famous coaches.
Yep.
And their stamp on the game must be huge.
Yeah.
Their thinking and the way... Look, maybe the evolution of the midfield or something like that has got something to do with those coaches.
Yeah. With how they played.
Yeah. John Coleman, someone.
Now, Collingwood luckily drew St Kilda in their first opening game of 1897.
Started strong.
Started very strong. Story about that as well, they were the premiers from the previous VFA year.
Yes.
So they wanted to unfurl their flag at the game to celebrate that. And they couldn't unfurl it. And they kept pulling and like trying to unfurl the flag and it wouldn't go. And they almost broke the flagpole. Mast trying to get it up. And it happened eventually. But it was really a bit of a disaster, which is like what their season kind of turned into in the end.
Telling.
They were very hopeful, but it didn't end as they would have liked. But they didn't get a win that week.
And they finished the season with how many wins? With 9 wins and 5 losses.
Well, they won 4 of their first 5 games.
Yeah.
Finished 4th with 14 wins. With 9 wins, 5 losses, and a percentage of 113.9. So scraped into the finals. Which we'll talk about a little bit in a minute, because of South Melbourne.
Yeah.
So it kind of hinges on that. Collingwood did qualify for the finals, though, and we'll talk about finals after we've gone through the season.
Yeah, they finished third, yeah.
Yep. No, they finished fourth.
Melbourne
finished third.
Well, what? So there you go. This one says that was wrong.
Huh.
Interesting.
We'll move on to Essendon now, who were captained by George Stuckey and played their games at the East Melbourne Cricket Ground, which is now, I think, the Jollymont Train Yards. So there was a cricket ground there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that was a reason why a lot of people went for Essendon, because they played games centrally in the city.
So it was easy to get to.
And obviously they moved later on, and that is now Train Line.
Mm. Yeah.
So they played their games there. And interesting fact about George Stuckey, you found out.
Yeah. Charlie? So yeah, the captain of Essendon in that team, who later went on. Well, I won't ruin the end of the season for you guys. But he also won the stall gift in 1897, which was 130 yards, and he won it in 12.2 seconds off the handicap of 12 yards. So
I think that's good.
Yeah. Obviously a pretty good tank on him, back then. Unbelievable.
And he was a good cricketer for Victoria as well, apparently.
There you go.
Yeah.
I hate him already.
No, so Essendon had a good start to the season. They travelled down to Geelong, and I found a little article that was talking about how they wanted to get to Geelong, and they decided not to take the boat because they'd get a bit too queasy, so they went by train.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So they had a good win, because apparently Geelong hadn't done any, like, their players hadn't played together and they didn't do any training, so the Bombers rocked up and had a good win, 7-5-47 to 3-6-24. So a good 23-point win there down at Cryo Oval. They then went on to have a pretty good season. They had 11 wins, 3 losses, and a pretty strong percentage of 159, finishing second. Strong wins over Carlton, obviously, like most teams did that year. Had a great win over South Melbourne in the second last round by 4 points.
And a very good win in the last round as well.
And a good... they lost.
Oh, sorry. No, who? I'm looking at the wrong team.
No, I thought you were trying to highlight the fact that Melbourne beat them in the final round.
I'm glad that was a happy accident, wasn't it?
No, so Essendon had a pretty strong season, although there were some low scores, but they managed to get by.
There's a little bit of something here about that finals. In the second round of finals, Essendon played Collingwood and at this time led at the final change. Both teams... okay, I'll leave it.
Hold on.
Hold.
Okay, so that was Essendon, and we'll talk more about finals, because there's a few stories I've got about the finals with the Bombers. But the next team we were going to talk about was Fitzroy.
Yep.
Fitzroy, obviously one of the champion teams in the league. They'd won that 1895 VFA Premiership, so we're coming off a pretty successful season, but didn't have the best of seasons. in 1897.
They shared the only draw of the season with South Melbourne.
They did in round seven.
Round seven, which was a nil-all draw.
Oh, really? I've got 5-13-43 each.
Oh, I've got 0-0, but there you go. No, okay, you're probably right.
Yeah, it's 5-13. And the interesting thing about that scoreline is it's the exact same score as the first AFLW draw this season. That was set. That
parity.
Seven goals, 3-47, 43, but the same exact score. How is that for?
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that mean they're going to go on to dominate? Because we've got, like, you know, the next couple of years, first, second,
Kaz,
strong.
Stop just ruining things.
Just putting it out there. I got excited.
We want people to tune in for the next few episodes.
Leaf blower gets to feature in this one.
Yeah, of course it does. all right, so who are we talking about? Fitzroy.
Yep.
So their first game, they defeated Carlton. So another good team to have your first win against. 6-13-49, they defeated Carlton 2-4-16. So a good 23-point win there at Brunswick Oval. Mm. They then went on to easily take care of St Kilda. So how's that? That's a pretty good fixture, having Carlton and St Kilda in the first 2 weeks.
Just to start up. Mm. Absolutely.
Two very, very soft teams. But if you look at the season in the end, they're the only two teams they beat the whole year. So they had four wins, but only beat Carlton and St Kilda, the two teams directly below them. And yeah, they did. So four wins, nine losses, and one draw.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
Yeah. Now we'll quickly, because we've gone through four of the teams, we might quickly talk about the rep game that happened in the middle of the season as well.
Cool.
Were you aware of there was a rep game, Kaz?
No. So is this a rep? So do they go interstate?
They didn't, because they didn't play an interstate rep team.
Ah, right.
Who did they play, Charlie?
So on the 12th of June, they played against a Ballarat Football League rep team at the Brunswick Street Oval. And Ballarat beat the league 13-11-89 to 8-6-54.
Yeah, that's an embarrassment, isn't it?
Isn't it? The Ballarat Football League beat the VFL.
Although I did read that the VFL had no time to train, and there were six last-minute replacements.
There you go. Yeah. So you just look a little bit further, and it all starts to make sense.
I just got this feeling that there's these real champion sportsmen out there, and they've sort of been roped into games, you know, and maybe they couldn't get all those people at that time.
Exactly.
Maybe they had work.
Huh. Yeah.
But maybe that's just the VFL trying to make excuses as well.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy. I'd be reveling if I was a Ballarat football person.
Absolutely. We beat you.
Legendary.
The first time.
Mm.
So yeah, that would have been. I like the idea of rep games, and I kind of miss. I missed the Big B.
Yeah, exactly. State of. Yeah, it'd be. It's a shame it's gone. It's nice to have it there still in spirit and look at the team, but it's really not a realistic representation of what the best team out there would look like. Is it anymore?
Not at all.
No. Yeah.
And I hate that that's the one thing we gave to NRL that's just taken off.
I know.
Yeah.
And it means. And you think? Yeah, we just sort of lost it, didn't we?
Yeah. People still have. I know somebody was saying that, you know, that we still have a bit of pride in where, you know, we've come from or the state of origin. Yeah. And so, I mean, playing a game to represent that would probably even stir that pride even more.
Hmm.
I think that was one draw card of that game.
Yeah.
With, you know, if people are thinking about it, you know, whether we should have it or not, that's one definite good thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously... You know, if somebody's going to hurt themselves and they're going to miss out on the season, that is bad. Look, but you know, they still, like, was it Scott Pendlebury hurt his finger recently in the international game?
Yeah.
So he might miss a couple of games.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't do the.
No, exactly.
I'm not a footballer, so I wouldn't be able to talk about it, but I'm the furthest thing from a footballer. But it's definitely a case to have it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Maybe we can have a dedicated State of Origin episode.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, tasty.
Some classic games. All right, let's move on. Geelong.
Yep.
Oh, did I say who Fitzroy's captain were? I didn't, did I?
No.
Fitzroy's captain was William Cleary, and they played their games at the Brunswick Oval.
Yep.
Man, he was a cricketer as well, wasn't he?
I assume he was. And I feel like we're giving Fitzroy the real tough end of the stick, aren't we? Just
forgetting things.
Forgetting about them. all right, Geelong. Their captain was Jack Conway, and they played their games at the Cryo Oval.
Captain Jack.
Interesting thing to note about Geelong's season is they lost their first three games.
Ooh, well, so, as you said before, they had never played together before, had they? So it obviously took them a little while to get...
To gel.
Get back together.
But then they won the rest of the games for the whole season.
Unbelievable. And they, like I was saying before, I was talking about Geelong when I said they finished unbelievably strongly. They beat I mean, it was against St Kilda, but they in the last round they won 14-12-96 to St Kilda's 3-0-18 at Corio.
Well,
what a great way to finish the season.
If you go back to the last time they played St Kilda in round 7, they actually got the season's highest score of 16-18. 114 to St Kilda 4-7-31.
So there you go.
Yeah, so yeah.
There seems to be a lot of history repeating itself, doesn't it?
It's
amazing, the correlations.
It sounds so similar. The second best player in the league that year was Joe McShane, who was a Geelong player, and he's been labelled here tough but fair.
Tough but fair.
I like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so Geelong, they lost to Essendon in the opening round in Geelong, and they hate that. They hate losing at home. Collingwood beat them. Melbourne beat them in round 2 at the MCG, and then Collingwood defeated them by 4 points in round 3. But then they kind of got things on track. They had an easy draw. They had then played Carlton, had a good win. Then had a good win over South Melbourne away.
But they obviously beat all those three teams again later in the season.
True.
So there you go.
So the first team to beat all other teams in the season.
Probably.
Yeah.
So they finished on the top of the ladder.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So 11 wins, 3 losses, and
184.3%.
Yeah, so they had a 25% better than Essendon, that's why they finished on top.
Very strong.
Now, you're talking about Melbourne. Fred McGuinness was the best player that year, voted the best player.
By the Argus newspaper.
Champion of the colony.
Oh, wow.
So that was
quite a title.
Isn't
I'd love to have that.
Precursor to the Brownlow.
Yeah. Hey.
But yeah, you'd be happy with that if Melbourne won the first Brownlow. Their captain was Ned Sutton, and played their games at the MCG.
It says he came from Tasmania.
Yeah, there you
go. Not going to hold that against him. We've had a lot of good Tasmanian Melbourne.
You have. So Melbourne started off with a good win over South Melbourne in round 1 at Lakeside Oval, 6-8-44 to 3-9-27, and then followed up by having a big win over Geelong. And then a nice win over Fitzroy. And then St Kilda, so they went four in a row.
Five in a row. After Carlton, six in a row. Yeah. And then we lost to Essendon, round 7. So we won the first 6. Jeez, that's a great start to a year. Jeez, I'd love to watch that.
Imagine how hopeful the fans would be.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Snowfields would be cleared. Not there was any skiing.
Even then, yeah.
And it would take 5 days to get to the snow on horse and buggy. But yeah, that was an excellent start to the season. Then they dropped a few. So they dropped 4 games for the season.
Yeah.
So
I think it was...
So two in a row they lost?
Three. No, yeah, two. Yeah, no, three. Three in a row and then beat Fitzroy. And then beat St Kilda again.
So 6 in a row, and then they dropped 3 in a row. Fell back to earth. Everyone got a bit too happy.
Yeah,
with a
heavy bump. But as you said, finished the season with 10 wins, 4 losses, and a percentage of 144.
And scraping into third place on the ladder.
Yeah, just behind Geelong and Essendon, who both had 11 wins. So there you go.
Nice one. All right, then we got St Kilda. Poor old St Kilda. Captained by William Shaw and playing games at the Junction Oval. Not much to say about St Kilda. They didn't win a game for the whole season. They were just happy to be there. I mean, they probably would have been happy with a participation medal that year. They had some absolute thumpings as well. Lost their first game to Collingwood and got thumped by Geelong
by almost
100 points. I think the Demons scored 100 points against them as well at some stage.
Which would have been, I think, looking at the thing, the only score over 100 points.
Geelong's was the highest, Melbourne was the second highest.
Ah, there you go.
So Geelong Melbourne in round 5 and Geelong in round 7, both against St Kilda, scored over 100 points.
There you go.
So yeah, I mean, this...
They were struggling for a long time here.
Yeah.
You know, teetering on the edge of extinction from way back in 1879, and then all had these dips in form, all the way up to 1897.
Well, if you look at... look at their results in round 10 when they played South Melbourne. They scored 3 points for the whole game.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Really not.
So finished with a percentage of 29.1.
Yeah.
With 0 points.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And the final team to look at is South Melbourne, who were captained by William Fraser and played their home games at Lakeside Oval. Interesting to note, 3 of the captains have the name William.
Yes.
Yeah. Very popular name of the day. And continues to come back.
Greatest William player you can think of.
That's a good question.
Tweet us at Kick to Kick.
Kick to Kick pod. So South Melbourne.
Sorry.
That's all right. South Melbourne's first game was against Melbourne. They lost 27-44 at Lakeside Oval. So a good 17-point win there by the D's. But it's interesting to note, South Melbourne's, the first half of their fixture was almost exactly the same as the second half of their fixture. They beat the same teams and lost to the same teams.
Oh, there you go.
Except for Fitzroy. So they drew with Fitzroy in round 7.
Yeah.
They so 43 points each. And then round 14, they played Fitzroy again and won by a point.
Ah, yes.
Ah.
So it was Fitzroy's closest game for the season that they couldn't get through. But because so South Melbourne finished 5th that season on 8 wins, 5 losses and 1 draw with 138.1 as their percentage. Had they won that round 7 game against Fitzroy, they would have qualified for finals.
Absolutely, they would have knocked Collingwood out.
Yeah, they had a much
superior because they had a much better percentage.
Yeah. So a bit of a freebie
so
there.
So Fitzroy knocked them out.
But it happened so early in the season. I mean, it's...
No, yeah.
It's like the Demons this last season, if they just scored one extra goal or...
Yeah, even at any game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They would have made the finals. All right, and that gets us to the finals then. So the three teams that made the... four teams that made the finals were Geelong finishing on top, Essendon, Melbourne and Collingwood. But the finals were quite different from what they are today.
Please enlighten us.
So instead of having a final system, the way they did it was they'd have each team play the other teams once, and then the best team at the end of those 3 weeks got the premiership.
Mm. Which is amazing, isn't it? It's such a
money-grabbing ploy.
Yeah.
And the more games we have, the more money we can make in gate-taking, so let's spread them out over 3 weeks and everyone will love it. The other interesting thing is, because of bad weather,
more football,
they had to have a week off between the end of the season and the finals. What does that remind you of?
Oh,
the
go.
Way it's currently
on
done.
The very first season.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh, and there was such a big deal about it, but it's all been done before.
Yeah, so the finals were played over 3 weeks. Each team played the other team once. Not always at their home ground, though. You'd think Geelong would have got home ground advantage for all of their finals, but they didn't.
No. It was a push for neutral grounds. Is that right? I keep seeing that popping up.
You can see there's a few that have played at home grounds, but, I mean, Geelong played Melbourne at Brunswick Street in the second week of the finals, so no home ground advantage there.
All right, so let's go through this then.
Oh,
so week one, it was 1 versus 2 and 3 versus 4, and Geelong begged and begged and begged for a home final, and the league was trying to stop that from happening, which sounds a bit like today as well.
Yeah,
but they got one, so they played the final at Cryo Oval. Interesting to note, it was the last final until 2014.
That was played in Geelong.
Geelong, when they played Fremantle.
That is unbelievable. Yeah. What a stat.
Yeah,
I like that.
So
from 1897 until 2014,
I think
there wasn't
a
final.
In Geelong. So Essendon won that game against Geelong 5-5-35 to Geelong 3-11-29. So a nice one goal win there to the Bombers. But that was probably the highlight because it was first versus second. So would have been really the game to go to.
It's interesting to note that 5,000 people at the game there as well.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at all the finals. None of the finals had the same crowd as a couple of the
first week.
Was it the first week? No, round 3. Melbourne Fitzroy had 10,000, and that was the largest for the season, I believe.
Are you looking in 1897? Because Fitzroy didn't qualify for finals.
No, I'm looking
for the whole season.
Round 3 of the main season had 10,000.
That was the biggest.
That was the largest of the whole season, including finals. So
and the D's won.
And the D's won.
Ha.
There you go.
So Essendon beat Geelong in Cryo, and Collingwood defeated Melbourne 7-9-51 to 7-5-47. So it was quite a close 4-point game there as well. But the D's not quite getting the job done in week one. So then you move to week two. No team's been eliminated. All teams are still in finals.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Which, I mean, if you were a D supporter, you'd be happy with.
Yeah. And we're absolutely.
No second chances because you just keep playing. But it also means if you don't have a chance of winning, there's no much point playing.
No.
Second week of the finals.
Makes it easy for the opposition.
Big game, Essendon-Collingwood. Essendon won, defeated Collingwood 9-16-70 to Collingwood 4-6-30. And Geelong defeated Melbourne 5-16-46 to Melbourne 5-7-37.
Wow. That is, if only they could have kicked straight, they would have absolutely destroyed us.
But 5-16, so bouncing back.
You look at that, the only two teams really with any chance going into week three are Essendon and Geelong.
Yeah. So week three, it was pretty much if Melbourne can beat Essendon, then Essendon would have to play Geelong in a deciding final, assuming Geelong won.
A grand final.
If you will.
The grandest.
Yeah, so then week three, we had two games. We had Geelong defeating Collingwood by 4 points, so 8-4-52 to Collingwood 6-12-48. And the game that it all came down to was Essendon versus Melbourne. which you'd think that's going to be a great game. I can't wait. I mean, Melbourne can knock them off. This will be excellent.
Yeah, just like in the 2000 grand final.
Yeah, but look, you got a bit closer than you did that day. But what ended up happening was possibly one of the worst finals that seems to have been played. Oh. The lowest aggregate score in history.
In the first.
So Essendon won the game 1-8-14 to Melbourne, no goals, 8 points.
Oh, and how many times did Melbourne hit the post?
They hit the post 3 times.
And that is incredible.
The story of the only goal
so
of the day.
So they're trying, you know. It's not just some sort of like farcical affair. Yeah, exactly. There was something that's going on.
And the story of the only goal of the day came in the third quarter. Charles Tracker Forbes, who's one of the Bombers' better forged players, took a mark not too far out. And everyone knew it was a good set shot. So they started heading back to the centre. Started setting up for the centre bounce. He kicked it. The ball fell short. But an Essendon player, Edgar Croft, lingered in the forward pocket, grabbed the mark and just ran into an open goal and kicked the only goal of the day.
Everyone else was 50 metres away.
It
reminds me now today of when you see someone, you know, after the siren in like the first or second quarter and someone marks it like 65 out, you know he's going to have a go at it and no one's standing on the goal line. Yeah. You think, what are you doing?
Yeah. Stupid.
Same sort of thing.
So Essendon won that game by a goal, thus finishing the final series with 3 wins and no losses, therefore taking the Premiership Cup.
There you go.
Without having to play a grand final.
So going over the final results in the end, obviously the Wooden Spoon went to St Kilda, so that's almost their participation award.
And here's the thing, I mean, if you look at history now, that first season really set the pace because Essendon's won the most Premierships.
And St Kilda has won the equal least.
Yeah. And St Kilda's won the most Wooden Spoons.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they're on like 32 Wooden Spoons.
Good on them.
So they're equal.
Any team doubles, I think.
There you go. So,
yeah.
And we've been trying to do equalisation for a long time. Mm. We're still trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is the highest score was Geelong, 114. Geelong currently hold the highest score as well.
Yeah. In that game this year?
No. It was 92 against Brisbane. Okay. But they have scored some mammoth scores. So final thoughts for the season, Kaz?
There was also, so can I add one more fact there as well? Collingwood finished in the finals and obviously lost. So considering there wasn't a grand final, they've also lost the most grand finals, haven't they?
They have.
There's another correlation.
Yes, I like it
as well.
Isn't it funny how you, like, even though we're so far ahead in the future now, that all this stuff comes through history and it's even set in place in the very first season.
Mm. Yeah.
So but just before Kaz's final thing, just to run through those notes from the season. So as we said, the Wooden Spoon went to St Kilda.
Yep.
The Premiership team was Essendon.
Yep.
The Player of the Year
of the colony.
The Argus newspaper's Player of the Colony was Melbourne's Fred McGuinness.
Yeah, good.
And the VFL's leading goal kickers, it says here, were Eddie James of Geelong and Jack Leith of Melbourne, both with 22 goals. Now, Tim and I were talking before, and Tim had some facts.
I had Eddie James down for 27 goals, but possibly he kicked those during the final series as well. We're not sure.
Yeah, maybe that it was even back then that it was 22 goals for each of those players throughout the season proper, and then those extra goals were in the finals.
Yeah. And the highest score was Geelong, 16-18, 114. So that is effectively the highest score in the history of the VFL.
There you go.
Yeah. So we can go through that as it changes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'd just like to do a premiership tally as well. Essendon won. Every other team, 0. Oh, and one last thing I found, which I forgot to mention. There was some connections between some more current players in the original game. So Gary O'Donnell, who was Essendon captain.
Yep.
His great-grandfather, Ted Rankin, played for Geelong in that first game.
Yes, I got that here.
Yeah. And also Lou Richards' grandfather, Charlie Panam, played for Collingwood in the first Collingwood versus St Kilda game.
Wow. There you go. Yeah.
It says here about Teddy Rankin that he ran with the crouch style and was a marvellous ball handler. A wonderful judgment, good spring, excellent kicking and seemingly unlimited stamina. Jeez, made him with a champion for two decades. So the 1890s was where it started. I wasn't sure exactly what game he played in, but he did play in that grand final. Fantastic.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, look, that pretty much takes us to the end of our show today. This has been our first show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Kaz has got a special surprise for us. He's been promising us this all week that he's got a way to end the show. We can't think of how we're going to end the show. So, Kaz, I'm going to give it over to you. How are you ending this show?
Waiting with bated breath.
Yeah.
So, what this is for, this is a sign-off. The end of the show is near.
cracked out the recorder.
Can and, you believe
it? As you know, I have trouble putting thoughts together in as prose, so I often use music to tug at the heartstrings to communicate the feelings I'd like to communicate. Hey, wait a second. Football. The grandest game of all. Football. Makes me cry. Oh no, I didn't really want it to go there. So far so good?
Nah.
But what? What's wrong?
It's a recorder.
Come on, mate. Look, no, so, I like the intent.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we need a better idea than that. You can come on with something else.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit too sad. We need something a bit more exciting.
Yeah, all right.
And ditch the recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next episode, I want a better idea.
Can I do a guitar and a little bit of recorder?
At the same time?
I can try.
Right, look, I'll leave it in your capable hands, see what you can come up with.
I saw we keep playing two recorders at once, but out of each nostril.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so just thank you for listening again today. Just a reminder, we do have social media now. So if you want to hit us up on our Gmail, we've got some questions of the day, or you want to try and correct some of our facts, our email is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @kicktokick_podcast, and our Twitter is @kicktokickpod. So there, thanks for listening, and tune in for the next episode, which is episode 2, 1898.
Ooh, exciting times. It was a good year.
Well done, guys. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Simon. Guys.
All right. And stop.
Excellent.